So glad you're here. Two or three thoughts, and we'll not be long tonight, but I want to talk to you about believe or not believe. To believe or not believe. First scripture I want to refer to is 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Now these should be on your screen, so you'll not even have to open your Bibles tonight. But Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." First of all, I want you to note that unbelief is rejecting God and His instructions. Unbelief is when we reject God and reject His instructions. This verse tells us that actually Satan is at work in people's hearts and minds to blind them. He fools them into thinking that they should not believe in God or believe in God's instructions. Now, let's just say I was going to the airport over in Huntsville this evening, and I had an engagement in St. Louis, let's say, to preach tomorrow. And I go up to the airport, and I get my bags, and I'm going in the front door, and I look over there, and there's a man dressed like a pilot, a Delta airline pilot. I always fly Delta. And, oh my goodness, you should see him. His hair is all messed up. His tie's loosened up, hanging over here. His coat is all wrinkled. His shirt tail is out. There's stains on his pants. And it's obvious he's sopping drunk. Just drunk and out of his mind. He said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Jeff Noblett. I'm about to get on a plane and going to St. Louis. I have to preach there tomorrow." "St. Louis?" I said, "Yes." "Well, that's the flight I'm flying." He said, "I'm going to be your pilot on your flight," as he wobbles around there and can barely even stand up, much less speak. Now, I've taken a good look at him, and I've heard what he has to say, that I'm making a choice. I don't believe I'm going to put my trust in him. I don't believe I have any confidence in him to fly that airplane. Well, that's exactly what we do to the Lord. When we hear the Bible taught and we hear the Word of God preached, we get a look at Jesus and we hear about Jesus and we have a choice. Do you believe He's the one you need to put your confidence in? Do you believe He's the one you need to put your trust in? That's belief. You look at Him, you hear what He has to say, and you make a choice. And not to believe is to say, "No, I'll reject God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not honor God's instruction, which is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will live in unbelief." The Bible says in John 6:29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Well, number one, unbelief is when we reject God and His instruction, primarily to believe or trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, unbelief is the result of a bad heart. Unbelief comes out of the fact that we all have a bad heart. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their conscience are defiled." Now, here the Bible says a defiled heart and a believing heart go hand in hand. Now, what's defiled mean? Well, it means polluted. Now, you know what pollution is. You might go down to some places on the river and people have thrown garbage in the water. There's oil in the water and there's filthy, dirty things in the water. You say, "Well, that water's polluted. It's ruined." Well, that's what the Bible says our hearts are like, naturally speaking. Our hearts are polluted. They're defiled. And that's why we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just say up here this evening I had a gallon of water. Now, I don't have one, but just picture that under my hand is a gallon of water. It is pure, wonderful spring water. You can just drink it. It's just perfect. But if I were to put just one drop of acid in that water, what's it do to it? It pollutes the whole gallon. It is impure now. Well, that's what has happened. We are born with sin in our hearts. We have bad hearts. And since we have bad hearts, we don't believe God. Since we have bad hearts, we don't trust God. Our hearts don't think right. Our hearts don't feel right. Our hearts don't understand right. Why would anybody push away God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? What's smart about that? Why do so many in the world reject Him in unbelief? It's because we have bad, polluted, or defiled hearts. Jesus said the foremost commandment is that we're to love the Lord our God, and we're to love Him, listen, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Now, do you know anybody that every second of every day, 7 days a week, 30, 31 days a month, 12 months out of the year, always loves God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength? No, we don't. I certainly don't. None of us do. Why is that? It's because we have a bad heart. You see, when we were one-celled human beings in the womb of our mother, we inherited a bad heart from our father, who had a bad heart passed on to him from his father, and had a bad heart passed on to him from his father, all the way back to Father Adam, who sinned in the Garden of Eden. And all of Adam's children, that's what we are born with bad hearts. The psalmist said, "For in sin did my mother conceive me." And that means the moment I was made a human being, I inherited this nature that loved me and loved my way and loved me doing things the way I wanted to do them and did not naturally believe God and love God. You see, we have bad, bad hearts. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, as I said in the earlier message today, we are by nature the children of wrath. Now, I'm just really alarmed and concerned about the immoralities in our nation today, the things that children are doing today that are filthy and vile and ungodly. What's wrong with our world and what's wrong with our culture? You see, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Now, we got to be careful about environment. Environment can be a bad influence on anyone, but my friends, listen, the ultimate problem is not the things around you. The ultimate problem is what is in you. Our hearts are bad hearts, and that's why we are full of unbelief. That's why we naturally don't want to do what God wants to do. We don't want to believe God and His instructions to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One time I heard a preacher tell this story about another preacher who was preaching on a street corner, and a communist was nearby who was an unbeliever and an atheist. And the communist began to heckle and deride that gospel preacher. And he pointed at a beggar walking down the street that was obviously very needy. And he said, "Communism will put a new coat on that poor man." And the Baptist preacher, the gospel preacher rather, said, "Yes, but Christianity will put a new man in that coat." That's what we need, is a new heart, because our hearts are bad. Well, number three, unbelief is a sin that God will punish. Being one who does not believe God or believe God's instructions to believe on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a sin that God is going to punish. Revelation 21, verse 8. Look at this. "For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now look at all these sorcerers, idolaters, liars, murderers, immoral people, abominable people. Who does He lump with all of those? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. God says, "I'm going to punish unbelievers, just like I'm going to punish murderers, just like I'm going to punish liars, and all of those who have sin that's not forgiven in their lives. He's going to throw them," He says, "in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." That lake is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. We know that it's a place that is the abode of demons and devils. And secondly, we know that it's a place that never ends. It's everlasting torment. Well, this is what God's going to do in punishment for those who go on in the sin of not believing God and His instruction, which is to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, lastly, number four, unbelief is a sin that does not need to continue. Unbelief is a sin that does not need to continue. Listen to Acts 16, verse 31. "And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You say, preacher, you think you're better than everybody else, and you think you're doing good, and you think the rest of us are all those sins? No, I'm going to tell you, I'm worse than all of you, except I know Jesus has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. He has washed me and given me a new heart. Now, that new heart doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you have a new plan in your life, a new purpose to please God, and a new purpose to serve God. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say that you do this or do that or join the church or be baptized. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's instruction. You don't have to go any longer in unbelief. Believing in Jesus Christ means you trust what the Bible says about him. Now, let me say a couple things about that. You trust what the Bible says. Number one, you trust that he is the only way you can be forgiven as a sinner. God's holy and just, and God must punish all sin and all wrongdoing, including unbelief. And you believe that when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, he took your judgment and your punishment in your place. Now, that's love we can't comprehend. That's a gift beyond our imagination. Well, I believe that. Secondly, you believe he is the only true, wise Lord and God for your life. You lay everything before him and say, from now on, I know I won't be perfect, but the joy of my heart and the intent of my life is to see what God says in his word about my life, about being a husband, about being a wife, about being a child or a young person, about how to approach work, about how I'm to dress, whatever it is in my life. Jesus is now the Lord and God for my life. Now, that's what believing means. I rest and trust that he died to save me. I can do nothing to cause that to happen. He did it all. I just put my faith in what he did for me. And I commit myself to him as the only wise Lord and God for my life. He's God's son. He died to save me. He's my Lord and my God forever and ever and ever. You know, it's wonderful that Jesus Christ, now think about him, he's as big as God because he is God. How big is God? Well, God's bigger than the whole universe. But Jesus Christ can come into a man through such a small thing like faith. Now think about the sun. If we were to compare the sun to the earth, why, the earth would be kind of like my fist, and the sun would be like this whole room. Yet the sun can shine down through the smallest little crack in a building. That's amazing, and that's the way faith is. It can shine down, even if your faith is weak, even if your faith is small, even if your faith is troubling and timid, it can be saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading about a man back in the days when they only could travel by horse and by wagon, and this man came, it's the middle of the winter, and he came to a small river, and the river was frozen over with ice, and he wasn't sure if he could get across. He didn't know if he could put his trust in how solid and thick that ice was. So very timidly and very carefully, he began to get out on that ice, and he was crawling about 6 or 8 inches at a time, and slowly and slowly and slowly he went across that lake, just wondering, is this thing going to crack and break through? Am I going to drown? And finally he got almost to the other side, and he heard a great rumbling behind him, only to turn around and see there was a team of 4 horses and a big heavy wagon that came crashing down the bank, went right across the ice, and went up the bank on the other side. Well, that guy in the wagon had lots of faith. And the guy on the ground crawling had little faith, but they both crossed to the other side. Well, that's the beauty of trusting in Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about your ability. It's not about how much you can believe. It's that you come weak and trembling and crawling in faith and saying, Jesus, I trust you. I put my confidence in you that you died on the cross for me. I'm a sinner that deserves judgment. We all do. I certainly do. But I believe you died for me. And today, I trust you as the only wise God and Lord of my life. Would you bow your heads in prayer this evening? With all of our heads bowed and all of our eyes closed, I want to ask you tonight, as you look at God tonight, remember as we first began talking, I told you about being at the airport And just imagine that I saw my pilot that was going to fly my airplane I was getting on. He was drunk. He was out of his mind. He couldn't even talk clearly. And I looked at him, and I heard him and said, I'm not going to put my confidence in him. I'm not going to trust him. I have no faith in him. Well, tonight, as I preach to you about what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, you've taken a look at Jesus as he's been revealed from the Scriptures. You've heard what the Bible says about Jesus. Now, you've heard, you've looked, will you believe? Tell him even now, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I can't save myself. I so need you, and I put all my trust, all my confidence that you died on the cross to forgive me and pay for my sins. And Lord Jesus, tonight I want to commit to you as the only Lord and wise God for my life. Oh, Father, I pray you will bring understanding and illumination and believing faith into the hearts of these who are before me. God, water the seed of the gospel in these precious young hearts. But Lord, there are moms and dads here and grandmothers and granddaddies here that need tonight to cash in a bankrupt, empty faith, a time in their past that didn't change them at all. And tonight, they need to settle it and place their trust in Christ as the only one who can forgive their sin and to be the new Lord of their lives. Oh, Father, do that work no man can do. Draw those to Christ who cannot come unless you do that, and glorify your mighty name. And in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.